everybody.
Hi, guys. Well, from cold and wet Salt Lake City, Utah.
Back to that again. It's Thank God I'm Atheist.
The podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up today, we're going to be talking about prophecy.
Yes.
And the in particular, the very Mormon concept of personal revelation.
But I feel like there's also, we'll be talking about prophecy as it applies, like, as it applies to other religious groups, too.
It's, yeah, sure.
There's a, the whole concept, you know what? The concept is fucked. You guys, so we're going to talk about that because when you're in it, it seems like a good thing.
Yeah, but having a direct line to God, not good.
No, no, that's a bad
thing. Not
good. Not good. A bad thing. But before we do that, I'm going to take us to Tennessee.
Ooh, beautiful Tennessee.
Beautiful. Well, suppose I've been to Tennessee. It was fine.
It's not ugly.
It was fine. I don't remember being... Do you remember that we got... caught in a horrible rainstorm in Tennessee?
Oh, in Memphis.
Yeah. That was...
Yeah, that's right. We were going to go out and look at something.
Yeah, we were going to go look at this Jesus on a cross thing that was like in the middle of a square or something, and we were just like, fuck! It was like a flood. It was like Jesus himself was like, you are not going to see this thing.
Yeah, the roads were completely like... they were just filled with water.
Yeah.
And we ended up underneath a like a gas station canopy... a kitty corner from a mini Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, it was weird.
Wasn't there something over on the other kitty corner?
Everything was weird. Everything was weird. And then we went. Like, and then we went and sort of hid in a catfish restaurant for an hour or something. Like
that's
that.
Right. Had a good meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's funny.
Anywho, in Tennessee, they have recently been attempting, the Tennessee legislature. Has been attempting to make, to put the United States national motto on all the license plates.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I forget what the national motto is.
Yeah, that one's the In God We Trust, ladies and gentlemen. National motto only since the 1950s.
Okay. So they're doing that.
They're trying to do that. That's okay. Their big workaround was, it's our national motto, of course. And mind you... Like 20 states, including this here state of Utah, have opt-in...
In God We Trust.
Into God We Trust plates. Yeah.
Like those special little, like, you can get one that's all... Has like a little fly fishing thing, or you can get one that's like
right.
The... a university symbol.
Right. You pay
or
little,
you can get one
You pay a little extra, and then you can get Jesus with an American flag.
Yeah, my parents have an anti-abortion one.
Do they really?
Well, it's more... it has a couple little cartoon pictures of kids' faces, and it says, choose life.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
I'm going to take that to mean they just don't want you to murder children. don't murder four-year-olds. Anyway, Tennessee was trying to put In God We Trust on all of the license plates. Well, their own attorney general, one Mr. Herbert Slattery III. Yeah, right. He actually issued a thing that and said, no, this is probably not a good idea.
Oh, wow.
He said in a legal opinion, so he just issued this legal opinion that just said, quote, it is the religious aspect of the phrase that gives rise to the questions about the constitutionality of of the legislation that would require all vehicle registration plates to bear the language In God We Trust.
Hmm.
Now, mind you, just so everybody remembers, this is on, like, all our money, the words In God We Trust.
Right.
It's all over our money. It's all over a lot of things.
Mm.
But there have been legal opinions already on this. The United States Supreme Court in 1977 made a decision that differentiated between money and vehicle tags because, and this was their reasoning, essentially, money changes hands. It's not just, you know, like it moves from person to person. So no one would assume that it's a declaration of personal belief for you to have money in your hand that says In God We Trust.
Okay.
And also you don't have to display it. It's in your wallet. It's in your purse, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Whereas if you have a vehicle, you have to have a license plate on that vehicle.
Right.
And that forces you to be displaying whatever is on that thing. So the being forced to display and seem as though you're condoning this message is what that particular ruling,
however,
says.
And okay, fine, I guess.
Right.
If I lived in a place where In God We Trust was obligatorily, you know, put on my car.
Yeah.
Gives me a great opportunity to have a nice bumper sticker.
It says
right
not,
next to it.
Not me.
Not.
Right. Well, that would be the license plate I'd want.
Yeah.
It says In God We Trust. And then next to it, you just have not.
Well, I mean, you remember the old Ski Utah plates, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a number of people who had snowboard.
Oh, yeah.
Utah,
a little sticker.
And they would put it right over the top of the Ski Utah.
Right. I think technically illegal, but nobody cared about that because it was just this little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could do something similar, you know.
Maybe.
Sharpie.
Not. In God we don't trust. Anyway, I think an amendment has been made now.
So shaky ground
to make it an opt-in sort of thing.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. All right. Dan.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, we talked about the IKEA catalog, right? That was specially modified for Israel.
Yes.
So that it could go to ultra-Orthodox
taking out all the women.
All the women
were
erased. Not even so much erased. They didn't even, doctor the photos. They had, their their own photo shoot.
Right.
With, Hasidic Jews.
With men and
men.
Boys.
Yeah, and boys.
Very, very gay sort of feel to it.
Well... there's a new Smurf movie out.
Okay,
so this
true.
Is an interesting segue, right? are you familiar with the character Smurfette?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. She always caused quite a stir in the Smurf community.
Oh, well.
Everybody had a crush on Smurfette.
They all wanted to Smurf her.
How Smurfy, Dan. In Israel, or at least in one Israeli city... that is majority ultra-Orthodox. The post...
Is that called Party Town? Is that the name of the place? Party Town, Israel? Because
no.
Because
no.
Ultra-Orthodox, a majority ultra-Orthodox town, that's got to be a fun place.
No, it's a town called B'nai Brak. I don't know what that means. Maybe you're right. Maybe that means Party Town.
I think so.
They have what would you call it? A city ordinance... prevents posters or billboards featuring women that, quote, might incite the feelings of the city's residents. Okay. Just the feelings.
Oh, no.
And so they took this poster, Dan. This billboard, right? Look at Smurfette there.
So basically what you see is four Smurf faces sort of peeking up from the bottom of the thing. You can barely even tell that one of them is a female.
Yep. You have Smurfette, Brainy, Clumsy, and Hefty, right? Those are the four Smurfs.
Okay.
In this town, however, they cut out her, and they kind of photoshopped her out and then slid Brainy, Clumsy, and Hefty over to kind of center them and kind of enlarged them, right? Because, you know, this...
Oh my
Very
God.
Very provocative Smurfette, right? All you can see
you don't
is
even
blonde
see
hair.
Her body.
No, you see blonde hair kind of poking out from her Smurf hat.
Like bangs.
Right? Bangs and some coming down on the sides. And she's got eyelashes. I think that's the other indicator.
Yeah, cartoon eyelashes coming off of her eyes.
Otherwise, her face is just a Smurf face. You take those details
this
away.
This is a cartoon face. Yeah, right. There's nothing there.
There's nothing that could incite feelings, whatever that is.
I'm starting to really worry about the perversions of the ultra-Orthodox community. If these men are wandering around and they're seeing a cartoon...
You're not going to jerk off to that.
No.
That should be the question. Is it jerk-offable to...
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah. That's... Oh, my God. No, Smurfette.
Smut, though, Dan. Yes. This is smut.
It is.
It's absolute... horrendous. Anyway, some other things. Can you smurf to it? Yeah. This is not the first time that this has happened in this town.
I'm sure
not. Apparently, Jennifer Lawrence, who plays the lead character, Katniss, in the Hunger Games franchise,
was removed
from promotional posters for all four films. She's the lead, for Christ's sake.
Right.
They cut her out.
It's about her. The entire film is about her. I will say this. You can definitely smurf to her. That's for real.
Also, Tinkerbell has been removed from a poster that was advertising Peter Pan.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, I mean, everybody has their own, you know.
See, this is what happens when you repress things too much. Suddenly, guys are masturbating to cartoons. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, you don't allow... regular old porn in Japan. Look what they've come up with.
Oh, you don't want to look what they mom, don't look what they come up with. What they've come up with. It's not.
It's all so weird.
It's not okay. Oh my God. All right. From one set of repressed gentlemen to another.
Oh, yeah?
Islamabad, Pakistan. The Pakistanis have gotten their little panties into a twist.
Oh boy!
Because it's the Facebooks and the tweeters and all of those things, the social media. Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif is furious because people are allowed to say things that are offensive to Islam or to their long dead Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And honestly, he is threatening to, quote, to strictly punish any website that would allow these blasphemies.
That would allow it even.
Right.
Okay. I know we're okay.
Pakistan, does not have good internet penetration in their country.
Okay.
But yet, according to Facebook's website, they have 25 to 30 million active users in Pakistan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But yes, the idea is that they will hold Facebook, Twitter, all of those accountable for any infractions that a user might make, which makes me just want to start blaspheming. Like,
can you hold the printing press company, the manufacturer of the printing press, liable for what somebody prints on it?
Yes.
Can you, like how far, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know? If you allow any sort of social media, if you feel like you have to hold someone accountable for what they're saying, maybe you hold the person who's saying something.
Yeah.
Even though I disagree with that.
Yeah.
But like going after the company, I get what they're trying to achieve.
Right. Well, they're trying to put a chilling effect on it and whatever.
Right.
The other thing is, yeah, all this makes me want to do because I don't live there.
Right.
And probably will never go there.
Right.
All I want to do now is find out if Nawaz Sharif has a Twitter account and just tweet horrible blasphemies at him. Not horrible in my eyes.
Right.
I don't want to say anything. I want to say things that I agree with. Like,
right.
Like the Quran is too boring to read. Or, like, you know, just...
Right.
Just things that I think are funny. Not things that are particular... Like, it takes...
You don't have to insult the Prophet Muhammad. Just say, you know, he wasn't a prophet.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, he actually never really talked to God, right? You do understand this?
Say that, like, taking a 14-year-old bride is rape.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just point that out.
Yeah. Like, that's all you need to do for them to want you dead, though.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
but it makes.
But you don't have to go in and be like, you know,
fuck
pictures
Muhammad
of like a
fuck.
Pig fucking Muhammad.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that before. Too.
Sure. It's, you know what? Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Mostly gentlemen. It takes no skill to do that.
No.
Let's
just take some artistic skill to draw it.
Let's be more clever, shall we? Can't we just add an air of cleverness to this whole thing?
Well, it's
we
that
can piss
it
him
takes
off
so little.
We can piss him off every bit as much, and still just and yet have it be clever.
Right. You don't have to get like You don't have to try to be clever.
Mm-mm.
Just keep it simple. They're going to be ridiculously pissed off.
Right.
Over. Nothing.
Yeah, the best thing is if you can get them furious over nothing.
Yeah.
The less it is,
right.
if you can get them riled up, the right. better you've done.
Because they can quickly look away from that picture of Muhammad, right? But that simple sentence that says he wasn't a prophet.
Right.
Boy, that's just going to burn in the back of their right. eyeballs for a long time.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Anyway, yeah. So blasphemy, it's already against the law there.
Yeah.
But yes, they're gonna go after the Facebooks for it.
Yeah.
I'm sure
a little wall.
I'm sure that
protect themselves.
That Mark
Zuckerberg
is shaking in his boots.
Oh, he's scared.
Oh sure. No.
Yeah, so they're building a little wall to protect themselves. Trump wants to build a wall, Dan.
To protect all of us.
To protect all of us from those terrible, terrible Mexicans.
From all those people picking our fruit for next to nothing. Keeping our food prices
down. We should be trying
down.
To protect them from us, to be honest.
From him, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, a new twist, a new turn in this whole story, Dan. The Catholic Archdiocese of Mexico.
Yeah.
Published an editorial this last week saying that any Mexicans who help President Donald Trump build the border wall would be, quote, acting immorally and should be deemed traitors
wow.
of their countrymen or something
yeah.
like that. It says any company intending to invest in the wall of the fanatic Trump would be immoral, and above all, its shareholders and owners would be considered traitors to the homeland.
Wow.
They're trying to build up some real opposition to this thing to truly demonize and to really call it for what it is. It's not demonizing anybody. It's saying, you know, if you're a cement supplier or some kind of construction company or a purveyor
of
construction
Mexican
materials
descent.
and you're a company here in Mexico,
yeah.
right? You are engaging in
you're hurting your countrymen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating coming from a church.
Yeah.
Like, I could see politicians making that statement.
Right.
But it's fascinating coming from a church.
Well, so they said that on Sunday, and then on Tuesday, the economy minister, Ildefonso Guajardo, he warned that firms would not be, that it would not be in the firm's best interest to participate in the wall.
Oh.
So 2 days later, got a government response.
That's interesting.
To kind of back up what the church was saying.
You know,
the church is taking a leadership position here.
Yeah.
And is trying to create a moral argument that the government can hide in
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Have some protection with this moral argument.
Right.
You know.
Well, here's where they're making a mistake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because the government needs to be encouraging these Mexican companies to do the work on the wall so that they can get the tax revenue, because when they have to pay for it, they're going to need that money. Because, they're totally going to do... I had somebody point out to me the other day, apparently the contractors who are looking into doing this wall have a big problem, which is like... thousands of miles of Rio Grande.
Uh-huh.
How do you build, like, either you build it on our side and cede a bunch of a huge amount of land to Mexico,
right.
in essence.
Right.
They're not going to let us build it on their side.
Right.
You can't build it in the middle.
Right.
What are they going to do?
I know. I was listening to some reports on the radio of people who are already, their property's already starting to be condemned.
Yeah.
In order to do this.
Well, there was that whole...
Their property backs up onto the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
And they're losing their property.
Yeah. There's already sections of a wall where there are people whose houses
mm-hmm.
are on the Mexican side of the wall. They're in America. They are they own American land.
Wow.
And they have a passcode to get through the fucking wall. It's the gated community from hell, where they're like boop 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 boop, and they can go through. And they
yeah.
like, What the fuck?
Well, and they're being locked in with all those rapists.
And, yeah.
And murderers and drug dealers.
It's so true.
Oh, my God.
It's, yeah, and that's really...
How horrifying.
And that's already happened.
How could we do that to our people?
That's before Trump's wall.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
That already exists.
Oh, my God.
So, I'm going to take us to NASA. One of the last bastions in our country of scientific exploration.
Yes.
Still funded, at least for the time being, by our government.
Sure.
So it's actually government-funded science, which is getting more and more rare as the...
Right, but...
People who don't...
They want to defund the climate science, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's what they are funding. NASA... Now, this was a couple years ago, but NASA gave a grant... of over $1 million, like $1.1 million, to a group to study, to the Center for, get this, Theological Inquiry.
What?
To study, like, what the possible impacts might be on religion if we found life in other parts of the universe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Really important stuff. Really, really important stuff for our scientific dollars to be going toward.
Yeah.
So the FFRF has been sort of trying to shut this down, and this money just went to these people. But the FFRF didn't stop it just trying to shut it down. They also did a request. An FOIA request, I guess that's a Freedom of Information Act request, to learn more about NASA and what the point of this grant was.
Yeah.
Here's what they learned. The work proposed for the grant included formulating a, quote, Christian response to scientific studies on morality. That's a lot to do with NASA. Great.
Okay.
Good job, everybody. Okay. Developing a new model of biblical interpretation, relating themes from 1 Corinthians to astrobiology, being the study of life
elsewhere
yeah. in the universe.
Wow.
Examining Christian ethics and Christian doctrines of human obligation.
Wow.
Looking at societal implications of astrobiology with theological ethics. Blah, blah, blah. It's basically just, wait a minute. What if there are aliens? What does that mean about Jesus?
Yeah. Ah! I don't have any problem with people thinking through that issue.
No.
Why in God's name is the government funding?
Yeah, why am I paying for that shit?
Because let me tell you, okay, we find life elsewhere. These religions will just fucking adapt.
Yeah, they have to.
You're not gonna have to like already have it all figured out for them. They're just gonna figure it out.
Well, and
because these are the best people at just kind of rationalizing away,
right?
What's the word that I'm looking for? Apologetics.
Yes.
I mean, these people are pros at it.
Well, it says it right there. Developing a new model of biblical interpretation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my dollars don't have to go be involved in that.
Not at all. And should not.
That's on you guys. I mean, I'm proud of you for trying to get out ahead of a problem. Great.
Yeah.
Very proactive.
It is interesting to see where some people's minds are right now.
Yeah.
You know, what with life being we're almost there.
Yeah.
We're going to start seeing some signs of it.
Who knows?
Out in the universe.
Who knows? But, it's getting more and more possible as we get more and more technology. And I just think it is interesting that, like, yeah, the religion, yeah, you guys, religion, you should be in a panic right now. Because the gaps that God lives in is getting smaller. They're getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
He's becoming a smaller and smaller God.
He's a tiny little
and
guy now.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
They're letting their God get small.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, in this case, yeah. When the second you start acknowledging the science,
yeah,
you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's why the Ken Ham School... Well, the Ken Ham School is like... not acknowledging science, it's pretending, it's making up pretend science and acknowledging that.
Right.
So that's probably the better way to go. If you want, if you want your theology to stand, just make up new facts, because the real facts aren't working for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Dan.
Yeah.
I have a source of sort of the of information.
Okay.
That, you know, normally what we do here is we have news articles.
Right.
Right. Story. Of some sort.
Sure.
Or a blog that is, might be the source that's talking about and pulling in sources from news stories. That happens.
Too, yeah, sure.
Right. Normally we don't just do like these personal little bloggy blog things, but in an article in the Tribune,
that would be the Salt Lake City
Salt
Lake Tribune. Yes. Our local paper, the non-Mormon paper.
Right. But that still picks up Mormon stuff a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you not in Utah?
Where are they? Did an article on a little woman somewhere here in, Utah, who has a blog that got, it kind of went viral because this blogger was all up in arms about this Mormon rapper, right? Named James the Rapper.
Oh,
or not James the Rapper, James the Mormon.
Oh, okay. I might be up in arms about that too, but that's just because I respect music.
Anyway, and this guy, he's, apparently he's in like Chicago. He's an African American.
Oh.
And she just does not like the influence that this rapper is having on Mormon culture. In particular, her white Western Mormon culture.
Whoa.
And she uses some pretty alt-right arguments and sources, and her own little, she's pulled some quotes from a talk that Ezra Taft Benson, who was a Mormon prophet and president of the church for the early 80s.
Yeah.
But a talk that he gave back in 1971 that's pretty rough. It's about popular culture and how the devil uses popular culture to pull Mormons away.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
sure.
Right? Which
course.
Was really, I don't know if they still harp on that, but that was a huge theme growing up. I remember, you know, general conference talks that specifically talked about Cheers, the TV show. As being a show that maybe Mormons shouldn't be watching because it's set in a bar. You know, I mean, this is sort of what was going on.
Oh my God.
Then.
That's
so fine. Anyway, she says, if you want to see, this is, I'm just going to read a few of these quotes from her article. If you want to see the future of Mormonism, look no further than the rapper James the Mormon. Just as inner city Chicago used to be full of hardworking Christian Poles, Germans, and Irish, but is now overrun but with black ghetto culture, it seems Mormonism in Utah are the next target for cultural destruction. And what's worse, the Mormons themselves are welcoming it.
Oh my God.
And then I'm going to skip ahead. After being raised in a system which taught them, these young Mormons, right? That all things white and Western were evil and boring, white Mormons were thrilled they could throw their hands in the air like they just don't care and get their groove on to secular music with none of the guilt. Okay. Because this guy, he doesn't rap about Mormon issues or being Mormon, but he doesn't use swear words.
Right.
Right? And he doesn't rap about sex.
Probably,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's pretty safe.
He's not
stuff.
Talking about drinking Cristal and fucking hoes and
right. So it's pretty safe stuff for Mormons to listen to if they want to listen to some rap music. I don't really know rap, and I didn't even bother looking the guy up to see if I could figure out if it was any good or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But nonetheless, and then like, so she keeps going on.
So basically she's just saying, black people are coming to Utah.
Yeah, well, it gets worse.
What?
Not just to Utah. She saw a poster hanging up at church for an upcoming Mormon youth event where two church elders were scheduled to speak, right?
Okay.
And she's like, that sounds right, but what was this? Performing at this conference was James the Mormon. Seriously? This had to be some fringe Mormon. This had gone from fringe Mormon funsies to a church sponsored performer in less than a year. I was appalled. I asked my 13-year-old if he had heard about this. He had been his usual dreamy self and not thought to register. I don't think you should go, I cautioned. He agreed.
Oh my God.
So, like, even though, like, this is getting this the sign of approval from you know, some higher ups in the church, she's just like, nope. Yeah. And so at the end of this article, it's not this one. It's this other one. But anyway, so she got in a little bit of hot water for all of this.
Sure, because she's saying a bunch of racist nonsense.
Right, exactly. And all this, like, white promotion stuff and white culture, blah, 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 blah.
If she had just kept it about hip-hop,
yeah,
she probably could have skated by.
She probably could have said that the themes that are often addressed in hip-hop are not themes that I feel good about my kids being exposed
to. Or let me tell you something. With Mormon culture, she could have gotten away with saying hip-hop just has a bad spirit to it. It has, you know, that those heavy driving beats, and there's so much anger in it, and it just right. it doesn't promote a happy, yeah. healthy spirit. Well,
she could have kept it there.
She could have kept it there, but no, she had to use the word white 20,000 times.
Right. And then she digs in her heels.
Of course,
because she got some serious flack for over the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And this is where it starts to get good.
Okay.
She says that she starts off her little blog entry saying that, you know, that her ward has been really supportive, and the people who know her, they know her, and they know what's in her heart. And,
okay,
you know, she feels like they've been good. However, the larger community of, quote, Mormons may need to be removed from my blog description as one of the communities I focus on here. Unfortunately, that community, or at least their online representatives, do not represent good Christians the majority of the time. I wrote a blog in which I accurately pointed out rap's destructive force on white Western culture.
White Western culture.
Yes, if you live in America, no matter what color you are, especially if you're in Utah, you live in a culture built by white Western Europeans. Sorry if you don't like that fact, but it's true.
Jesus okay. Christ.
And she just rants and rants and rants and raves. In the blog, I said twice that I felt James was a sincere Mormon, but that I thought that even he had fallen victim to the socialist brainwashing that is taught in public schools. I have had Mormons threaten to kill me, threaten to rape me, threaten to kill or harm my children. Mormons, let that sink in.
Wow. You know what? That may be true, in which case that's horrific.
It is horrific, right? Like, and I don't know who these people are, and they're clearly responding in really negative ways.
The whole internet trolling phenomenon is just a cesspool.
Right. And then she goes on. At one point in time, Mormons were considered the nicest people in the country, but so many of them have become rabidly anti-traditional family, anti-basic church principles, and anti-white. Okay.
Oh God.
This is choice right here too. As long as you don't mind me, keep reading.
But, go ahead.
The real racists are the ones who have threatened me and slandered me. Why? Because if I was a black woman writing about how I didn't want white people coming into my neighborhood and changing it, they call that gentrification, I would have been applauded. But as a white woman, I'm not allowed to say that I don't want my neighborhood or culture ghettoized. And the only reason is because I'm white. That's the definition of racism.
Oh, dear. Well, you and I have talked sort of ad nauseum about race and gender politics for a while now, or at least a lot, enough that we've put off some of our listeners who don't want to get too political.
Yeah.
But fuck this girl.
Yeah.
I mean, just amazing. Like,
right.
She is just clearly, she hates black folk.
Right.
and wants to feel like she is safe to say so.
Right. And then because, you know, this whole thing, she still is saying things like that she's not racist.
Right.
Right. But at the very, very, very end, she puts up these little memes, I guess is the best thing to call them. One is Stop White Genocide. And it has like this, they pull the United Nations Genocide Convention.
Oh, God.
Article 2. And there's this thing about, oh, God, it's so small in my printout. Deliberately suffocating or something. Some kind of, anyway, she tries to claim that that's what this kind of stuff is doing, that there's white genocide,
right?
And that and then she has all these little things that are just from the absolute most racist sources on the internet. It has like these pictures of sort of the first babies born in a bunch of like European countries. It says, first babies born in 2017 in Austria, Germany, France, and England. None of them are European. They're all brown people.
Yeah.
Right?
Because if you're born in Austria, you're not European unless you're white.
Right. Exactly. Right? And so there's this whole thing of like, and I just, I don't know what's so great about the color of your skin. Right. Like, yeah. And that's all this is for this woman is she has her little white enclave.
Yeah.
Right. And she doesn't want it to change in any, but culture is one of those things. You can't hold it. You can't keep it from changing. Right?
Yeah. You can.
Culture changes.
But it's not just that. It's that she has decided that black folks are the black equals ghetto.
Right.
The black people equal degradation of society.
Right. Well, there's a really good chance, though, that this woman lives probably like in Mia Love's district. She doesn't have any problem with Mia Love, would be my guess, unless she has actual political reasons to not like Mia Love. But like so it's not the color of the skin.
Mia Love is a congresswoman from Utah who is black and Mormon.
And her district really elected her. Like she won with a lot of the vote, if I remember correctly, at least the first time.
Right, because her ideas are horrific.
Right.
She basically is like anti-woman.
Right.
And she's like anti-everything she needs to be pro.
Right.
And they love that.
Right.
The right loves their Uncle Toms.
No, absolutely.
Aunt right. Thomasina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a big fan of James the Mormon and want to defend him to us, don't. But if you have anything else you'd like to write into us, please do so by going to those internets and in your address bar, type in podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, we like that. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click like.
And while you're there, search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge. Request to join. It's a closed group, but we'll let you in.
Hola, Dan.
Hello. Hey, you know who we should hear from?
Who?
One Mr. Patty Boy.
Yeah.
Patrick C. Patterson.
Yeah, we better enjoy him while we can. He's looking pretty
haggard.
Pretty old.
Yeah, Pat Robertson has some words of wisdom for the infirm among us.
And welcome back to the 700 Club. It's time to bring it on with your email questions. We're going to start with Tiffany. She writes, first, I just want to say, I love you. Well, we love you, too. I've been extremely ill for almost 7 years. I pray. I read the Bible. I've asked for healing and have been prayed over many times. What hurts the most is that I feel abandoned by God when I have loved him so much. I have MS. I am chemically and environmentally sensitive, which means I am allergic to many everyday things. There are only a few foods that I can eat. I feel forsaken. I've been watching your show for a long time now, waiting for my name to be called when you have a word of knowledge. And I'm so happy for those who say they are healed, but is healing not for everyone?
You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he healed everybody who came to him. There was not one person who came to Jesus who he turned back. He gave them some tests sometimes. He made them struggle sometimes. But every single one was healed that he came to Jesus. Now, listen, I have dealt with MS. I have seen MS miraculously healed. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds strange, but I do believe that there's a spiritual component in MS. It's like a demonic. And it's one of those things that you literally have to cast out. But I have seen people with MS get up out of a wheelchair and push the wheelchair out of the room where we were.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. I've been involved in it. But it is a horrible thing. It's a wasting disease. It just eats all the energy and the fiber and everything. I would recommend, among other things, that you check with an endocrinologist to see if there's something, some chemical or something that could be done that would build up that immune system that you've got or something that you're eating that's causing the problem. But you need, in the name of Jesus, to rebuke that thing and to say to your body, you will be whole.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you can hear, like, the logical war happening in his brain, playing out in front of us for the world to see. Like, go see an endocrinologist, but also, bitch, this is your fault.
Yeah.
Like, this is your problem. You did this.
Just
and
need
you're
to rebuke the demon.
You're just not rebuking well enough. Yeah,
rebuke
you said
it.
You said you've been prayed over. You said you've been trying really hard.
Right.
Wrong.
And also, stop eating cheese.
Maybe there's a chemical. Go see an endocrinologist. Have you thought of trying a doctor? Have you tried? Have you thought of that? Also, you've got a demon, and it's your fault that you haven't gotten it out yet.
Oh, God.
Wow. Everything about what he just said is just fuck you. That's basically, I'm just going to translate for his viewer there. Fuck you and fuck your MS. You suck. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Good Lord. He's just, what a peach that guy is. Also, you should definitely take your medical advice from Pat Robertson. Hey, we had some folks write into us.
Yes, we did.
Tyler wrote in. He said, hey, this is Tyler. I was listening to the most recent episode, and you guys brought up baptism in Mormonism and talked about how it happens and what the experience is for an 8-year-old. One thing you said was, how is an 8-year-old supposed to say no? Well, I grew up and was teaching that age in Lehi. You know where that is, I'm sure. That's a small town here in...
Not so small anymore.
Utah. Yeah, I guess it's growing.
It's pretty big.
It's on the wrong side of our mountain over there. It's on the bad side, meaning the extra Mormon side. And it turns out my parents, he says, who I later found out were already starting to doubt the church, actually did ask me if I wanted to be baptized. I told them I didn't, and they respected that decision. I was the rare Mormon boy who opted out of getting baptized and never entered the faith.
Wow.
What I'm not sure I ever told my parents is that the reason I didn't want to be baptized is because the thought of a stranger grabbing me and pulling me underwater scared me quite a bit.
Oh, funny.
Here's the difference, Tyler, is that if your parents don't make it clear in some subtle or overt way that they expect this of you,
right,
then it's easier to say no.
Right.
But if it's clear that everyone who has authority over you definitely fully expects you to do this and will be wildly disappointed if you don't, then it's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So congratulations on not being baptized. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
But yes, that is kind of awesome.
But not an easy thing. I mean, it was being expected of him.
Right.
You know, you can't completely discount.
No. And I don't mean
his, his ability to stand up for himself as an 8-year-old.
As an 8-year-old afraid of being pulled underwater, which that makes sense. Sure. Anyway, do we have a voicemail?
Yeah, we do. This is a response to, you know, some of the stuff that we have been kind of talking about ad nauseum about, you know, men and how men might want to think about how they What's the best way to say this quickly without getting into trouble? How not all men are rapists.
Yeah. Hashtag not all men.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Frank. This is Scott from Illinois. I was just calling because I was listening to a podcast and I'm at work. I apologize. The sound quality is not great. I had to step outside because there's actually microphones everywhere. But, you know, I was listening to your podcast and I heard the talk about the men and couldn't help myself. So you guys did an amazing job explaining what's wrong with kind of the standard white guy response to that. But I figured I'd toss in and mansplain to the men so they know what it feels like. Because I just find it ridiculous that anybody could really hold the viewpoint that, like, why should we have to do things like that? By that logic, like, I should be offended every time my neighbors lock their doors. I'm not a criminal. Why are they locking their doors? You know, and, like, the example I came up with is, like, let's say I go to Walmart and I want to add some wiper fluid to my car, but my hood is stuck. So, you know, I buy a crowbar to help pry it open, and I'm standing next to my car smoking a cigarette holding a crowbar. Guy pulls up to me, thinks for a second, and kind of doesn't want to get out of his car because there's a guy standing smoking a cigarette holding a crowbar. Like, what's he going to think in that situation? Like, am I supposed to be offended that he thinks that, like, a guy holding a crowbar in a parking lot might not be up to any good? Should I, like, run, you know, up to him and scream that, like, I'm not a criminal. How dare you assume that? Like, I think it's totally reasonable in that circumstance for me to, like, throw the crowbar in my car and move to a part of the parking lot that's completely empty. It's really no different than, like, you know, signaling to him that I'm not a threat. That's no different than crossing the street. You know, maybe that'll make it clearer for the men who just can't get past their privilege. I personally couldn't agree more with everything you guys said, and I think it's great that you're willing to say that and take the heat for it because, honestly, there's a lot of privilege, and it needs to get, you know, taken down a notch. Thanks, guys, for everything you do. Have a good one.
There you go. Yeah. Why should my neighbors lock their doors now that I think about it? It's,
yeah. How, what are they saying about you, Dan?
What are they... Well, how dare they make that inference? You're implying, sir, that I am a criminal.
Yeah.
Just because I broke into your house that one time.
Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for
that. Yeah, that was good. We also had Kimberly write into us, who said, "Hey, Frank and Dan, I just listened to your Age of Accountability podcast. And I smiled at the description of the conversations 8-year-olds have with their Mormon bishops prior to baptism, but it also brought up some painful and uncomfortable memories. Sometimes I speak to former Mormons or people who used to be other religions, and they do not seem to identify any negative effects of those beliefs. Maybe they were lucky, and maybe they didn't internalize it in the way that I did. For me, the idea of being accountable for sins after being baptized was very harmful. I was sexually abused by a neighbor as a child. I didn't have the words to define it as such at the time. I just knew that it was something that made me scared, sick to my stomach, and made me feel very, quote, bad and dirty. I also remember feeling guilty and responsible, like I should have figured out a way to say no or get out of the situation. I remember being scared to tell my parents. I thought I'd be in trouble. And besides, the perpetrator said I had to keep it a secret. It only happened a few times, but the final time was the summer after I was baptized. I remember walking home after it happened, and my face was burning red. I hid in the backyard because I didn't want my mom to see me and ask why I was upset. I was upset because I was clean and liberated after my baptism, but now I would be forever accountable for what had happened. I was dirty, and I couldn't undo it. I don't recall even thinking that there was a way to pray or receive forgiveness without talking to the bishop, and that is something I wasn't going to do. I had a lot of stomach aches and sleepless nights thinking about how I was tainted forever now. This lasted well into my teen years. I identified with Elizabeth Smart when she described, quote, giving up because she was dirty and she couldn't be redeemed. I felt that way too. I remember thinking I'd never be worthy of a good Mormon husband, so I might as well resign to the fact that I was broken and less than. As an adult, I realized this is all bullshit, and I was a victim and a target. I wish my child brain had known it was safe and right to go to my parents for comfort. This, along with many other experiences, turned me fully against religion. I'm especially sensitive to the damage religion can cause to children and victims. The age of accountability concept and of responsible for sin can be a very damaging, very harmful concept. I fear for my nieces and nephews and hope they do not internalize as I did.
Wow.
Yeah, it's more than just, it can be a lot more than just sort of a benign, a semi-benign fear thing.
Yeah.
That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it just compounds. Like, you know, lots of kids experience what Kimberly experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And they you know, they feel guilty and they feel like they've done something wrong when they've actually just been victimized.
Right.
But then you get to add to that this whole thing that, like, yep, you're, and also, P.S., you're fucked for eternity.
Yeah. And it being so repeatedly stated over
so
and over and
often.
Over that you are now responsible. You are now responsible. You are, that you will be held accountable for your sins. And I wouldn't have been able to connect that to abuse and sexual abuse and the guilt and shame that those children feel, and adding that into it. That's just,
well, and also on top of that,
that takes the mind fuck that you and I experienced and just,
yeah, exactly.
Exponentially just blows it out of the water.
The other thing is she mentions Elizabeth Smart, who was the young girl who was kidnapped from her home and then sort of ritually raped and abused and all this stuff for how long was it?
It was a while.
It was a long time. Yeah. And then she was recovered and stuff. And one of the things that she dealt with is the fact that Mormonism keeps telling women, and this is a message pretty much exclusively for the girls, that if they have sex before marriage, they're a used piece of gum.
Right.
They're an already eaten apple. They're the core and not the apple. Like all the, like somehow their virginity is the property of the husband. And if that's gone, then they've defiled their marriage, their future marriage, and blah, blah, blah. And this messaging is ostensibly to prevent them from choosing, to have sex before marriage.
Right. But in the event of rape or abuse.
Right. Then you're still the chewed piece of gum against your will.
Right.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, all of those things. Oh, fuck you so much. you religious assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note.
We have some people to thank.
Yeah. Let's just change those gears. Real gentle-like and turn this whole ship around.
To gratitude,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's a hard segue. All right. But we do have some new donors on Patreon.
Oh, hooray.
In fact, quite a few.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to get right down to thanking them, and then we'll tell you how you can be
can earn our everlasting thanks.
Indeed. All right. So we have some new members of the faithful to thank. There's Willow and Dawn. Thank you very much. There's also a new venerable listener by the name of Stephen. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you so much.
Also now there's Saint K Mojo. So thank you, K Mojo.
May the Lord bless and keep you, you sanctified bastard, you.
And then we have also a new pope by the name of Angela.
Angela the Pope. We've got a female pope.
Female pope.
Oh, the white smoke is coming out of the chimney. Oh, it is. It's a blessed day.
And as always, we have to thank our number one top donor.
Our current savior,
James.
The Lord and Savior, James. Well, thank you all so much.
May James bless and keep you.
May James keep you close to his heart and keep us all close to the warmth of his crotch. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be part of the faithful, of the holy crowd that is our Patreon donor base, you can do so by going to thankgodimatheist.com and clicking on the Patreon button. And then we will love you as much as we love these guys. There are things that you get, bonuses that you get when you're a patron.
Indeed.
An ad-free version of the show, as well as Frank and Dan's diary.
That's available at the $3 level.
At the $3 level. Come and choose whatever level you want to be a member, and we are so thankful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the daughter, and the mother, and the aunts and the uncles. Amen.
Amen.
My son, I prophesy to you.
Oh.
I predict, I prophesy that, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a prophet of the recent past.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to prophesy things that have just barely happened.
Oh, damn. Amazing.
And then my, because let me tell you something. There's a lot of prophecy that happens in this world. For instance, when Pat Robertson prophesied recently that the healthcare bill would definitely pass.
Yeah.
He prophesied. He knew it was going to happen. He was wrong.
He was wrong.
When you prophesy about the future, there's some rough shit that can happen.
It's a tricky thing. You don't know.
Right. Yeah. You think you do because of Jesus.
Because those warm, fuzzy feelings.
But man, prophecy is a tricky business.
Yep.
It's a tricky. So I'm going to go ahead and prophesy that the healthcare bill will not have passed. That it will be pulled. That it will have been pulled.
To great shame.
To the much
and consternation.
Much to the shame and consternation of all the tubby people in the White House. and one in shape, Mr. Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Anyway, prophecy is a problem. Yeah. And it's not a problem for us because
we don't do it.
Don't do it. It is a problem for the religious.
Dodge that bullet.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And when we do make predictions, we say, this is me making a prediction.
Yeah.
And it's no bigger or more important than that.
Yeah.
And so yes, that is why we never have to eat too much crow, because we're not saying anything more or less than that.
But we were pretty confident that Donald Trump wouldn't be our president.
Oh
though.
My God,
dear God!
I bet serious money on that. I lost a lot of money.
Oh, Dan.
It's fine. It's fine. I don't bet anything I can't afford to lose. But my God, why? Anywho, the point is. These religious types have their prophets.
Yeah.
It's funny because it came up, it came up with when Mitt Romney was running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
And everybody very reasonably started to ask this question. Well, don't you believe that there's a guy who has a direct line to God who can tell you to do things and you'll believe you have to do them?
Yeah. It's this lovely little white phone.
Yeah, exactly.
In the prophet's office.
Ah.
Boy, when that red light on that thing starts blinking.
Which,
clear the room, everyone.
Everyone get out. He's got to talk to Jeebus on the phone.
I would love it if he had like this prop phone. He just has a little button that he pushes to clear. Oh, the Lord's calling everyone.
You know,
everyone
somebody,
get out.
I want to do it. The Jesus phone. What's the ringtone on the Jesus phone? It's got to be the Motab Choir, right?
Oh, yeah. It's Come You Saints.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I was just thinking about prophecy. And
no, there's the Lord is calling. Calling me to sons of woe.
Yes, the Lord is calling.
That was a pull, Dan.
Hello, Jesus? Oh, yeah. Sorry, you have the wrong number.
God is calling.
Damn it, God. Every time I have to remind you, I don't speak Latin.
Jesus.
Talk English. Talk American.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing about being a Mormon. Yes, you have this guy that you believe in modern times has a direct line to God. You believe that he has the power of prophecy.
Yeah.
But guess what else we believed when we were youngins? That there was such a thing as personal prophecy.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that was a
And that you can you can have your own revelations about things.
About yourself and anybody that you have stewardship over.
Shit can be revealed to you if you pray earnestly and you eat your bread and water on Sunday and you do things right, it will be revealed to you.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. When I was a Mormon, there were moments that I thought some shit was revealed to me.
Yeah, I know. Same here.
There are some good feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Or some bad feelings.
Oh, yeah. The warnings.
A dark feeling.
Just, boy.
Boy, that's a psychological mind fuck right there. Mm-hmm. You pray for guidance, and then you think you got it?
Well, yeah, you kind of make a decision.
Yeah.
Right? And then you start to feel really good about that decision.
Right. You feel at peace. Well, guess what? It's because you made a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a psychology there.
I still feel
good
about my decisions or bad about my decisions.
Right. And the problem is that, like, 9 times out of 10, that goes fine. Because it really, honestly didn't matter which choice you made.
Right.
Like, you accepted the job, you didn't accept the job, and you move on with your life, and you're fine.
Right.
And maybe you struggle for a little bit, or maybe you don't. And maybe things go really well, or maybe they don't.
Right.
And you find a way to justify it in your brain.
Right.
But every now and then,
shit
goes slaunchways. I will give you an example. A member of Andrea's family has now 5 children. Now, let me tell you something about her family. Her kids are not easy.
Oh, okay.
They are not, you know, the first kid was a lot like me when I was growing up, which is ADHD, anxiety.
Right.
Troubled kid.
Right.
Sad. Hard to deal with, can't pay attention in school.
Yeah.
Really struggles. Gets in trouble all the time, gets in fights, whatever.
Okay.
Really struggles. That's a handful, just one.
Yeah.
Then they had 2. Then they had 3. 3 boys. Let me tell you something. 3 boys of those genetics turn out to be a zoo.
Okay.
I love them all. It's a lot.
Right.
And we had discussions, with these people, with their parents, and just said things like, you know, maybe, are you going to stop now? Is this enough? And the dad was like, yep, we're done.
Oh.
Done. Yeah.
All right.
Done, done, donezo, done.
3 and done. That's fine.
Right. And the wife said, yeah, probably. But then there's this little thing happening in the back of her mind.
What probably?
And it took me forever to actually hear the real scoop. She kept saying things like, I think there's another child in heaven, another spirit for me. This is a belief in Mormonism. The Mormons believe that we were all in a pre-existence. We were all, quote, intelligences.
Yes.
No one knows what that means, but we were all there and they're
waiting to come down to Earth.
And there's billions of them still, and they're all just waiting for to be thrown into some woman's womb.
Right.
And pop out.
Right.
And she believed that there was someone waiting for her, someone else. And it turns out that she had a dream a long time ago of a dark-haired girl.
Oh.
And she was waiting for her to give herself to give birth to this dark-haired girl. Well, guess what? All of her kids are platinum toe-headed blonde kids. Every one of them. So she's had 2 more. There's now 5 of them. They are all the last 2 were girls.
Uh-huh.
We thought they were going to stop at 4 because she got her girl.
Right.
We thought done.
But not a dark-haired girl.
It wasn't dark-haired. So now she had another one. And let me tell you something. They don't want more kids. I know they don't want more kids. I see it every time I look in their weary, haggard eyes.
But what do you do when you believe that there's this spirit that's supposed to come into your family? And if you don't bring it into your family, it's gonna go to some other family.
Or something. I don't know what happened. It's stuck. Maybe it's stuck in heaven. It never gets to get a body.
It ends up, I don't know, in some
heathen family.
Some developing country where there's some poor, impoverished situation.
And they'll never hear the gospel of the Lord.
No, never.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, no. Oh. This child gets born in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, no.
Even worse, Dan.
Oh, no.
Behind the firewall. behind the adversary's firewall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the gospel may not enter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it suddenly makes sense why she has dark hair.
Yeah.
At that point.
But the poor girl.
But yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, the idea here to me is, like, these people are making decisions that are making their lives so much harder. And of course, they love their children. That's not the question.
Right.
But their lives get harder and harder and harder.
Mm.
And needless, and all because they had, this is prophecy.
How do you even have five kids in this day and age?
Good Lord.
You know, like, it's just, I know what the median income in this state is. There's no way you could support five kids with that income.
Well, you can.
Not even close.
You can support them. You're just, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be scraping.
Yeah.
And they are. They're scraping.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, he works a job that he hates.
Yeah.
And she teaches music lessons.
So she brings it. Okay.
So that she can bring in. And she, but I mean, that means, I mean, she, the whole concept is that she's supposed to be a stay-at-home mom. Well, she's staying at home, but she's spending all this time teaching music lessons.
Right.
And she's got like five little Tasmanian devils like screaming around the house all the time. It's just, I love every member of that family, but my God. It's just, the point here isn't that five kids are wrong or are bad or whatever.
Although, I would say that. Dan's not going to say that, but I would.
I think all kids are bad. I think don't have kids. Let's just let humanity die out. It's okay. We've had a good run.
I don't think we need to let humanity die out. I think though that we can look at the planet and know what our resources are and the fact that they're already taxed.
Yeah.
And
population
strain. We're putting a strain on this planet.
Population growth is probably not an awesome thing, but that's a topic for another day. Right now, it's just like prophecy, you know? Think about all of the people, you know, who believed Harold Camping one of the many times he's predicted the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And they did everything. Like, people sold their everything and put up billboards to warn people because they believed so strongly that the apocalypse was coming. And they needed to get the word out.
Hmm.
Or they gave all of their money to this whatever church leader because there was prophecy happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hurts people.
Yeah.
The whole concept hurts people.
Oh, yeah. I'll just share a personal story.
Please do.
My mother is really in tune with the spirit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
She receives personal revelation all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
praise Jesus.
The deal was that I would pay for half of my mission and my parents would pay for the other half.
Right.
And so I had quite the savings, that I'd put together
just
working little jobs when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And I'm serious. I didn't spend a lot of money. I stashed money away.
Yeah.
Because my parents were paying for everything, so I didn't really have to pay for much. And but nonetheless, when my grandmother, my dad's mom, passed away, she left all her grandkids a little sum of money.
Okay.
Right? Nothing. This is not like trust fund type stuff, but just a little bit of money that was supposed to help pay for college. A
couple grand here or there, whatever.
Yeah, a little bit more than that, but... Okay. Enough that it would have helped. It would have been a nice little sum of money that would have helped with college.
Now wait, saying would have helped?
Oh yeah. They used that money to pay for their half of my mission. And this is a non-Mormon woman, right?
Oh, grandma wasn't.
Grandma
Mormon.
Was not Mormon.
Oh, she would have been pissed.
She would have been. Beside herself, right?
Oh my God.
But they had her temple work done.
Of course. Which, by the way, and ladies and gentlemen, what that means for those of you not in the Mormon thing is as soon as she died, they go into the temple and post-mortem baptize her into the Mormon church
and a little proxy baptism,
and do right? a little, and they do a proxy
endowment. The whole work, all of your temple work done. Right.
Yeah.
All the stuff that didn't happen during her life because, well, she wasn't Mormon.
Because she didn't believe in any of that nonsense.
Didn't like the Mormon Church.
Right.
Like she actually actively did not like the Mormon Church.
Gee, I wonder why. She,
super wonderful woman, pleasant, never would have said boo to us about that.
But right.
It's confirmed she did not like the Mormon Church.
Right.
But my mother received confirmation in a dream that she had accepted the gospel. And they felt very, very, very good about using the money in a way that she did not approve of. So there was that much less money left.
Right.
You know, which would have paid for at the University of Utah at that time. Two semesters.
Yeah.
You know, I could have had two semesters paid for that weren't.
Instead.
That were loaned
instead
to
your,
me.
Instead, your parents got to keep their money.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that there could be a lawsuit.
Oh,
I could sue
that.
Them for it. But, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
You don't. You don't do that.
But it's, I mean, some
people do. It was misuse of because it was established as a little trust with clear intent. But
right.
they were the executors.
Well, that's so. maybe I'm looking at this prophecy thing all wrong, because it sounds to me like I just wasn't using prophecy as conveniently as your mom has learned to do. I just, when I had my own personal little revelations. They were all about, like, how I can be good or bad and blah, blah, blah. You know what? You got to game the system.
Yeah.
You got to have your convenient prophecy that turns things that should feel bad to you into things that feel awesome to you. Like, now that grandma's dead, she's a Mormon, she's accepted it all.
Of course she'd want us to use her money that way.
Yeah, she said college, but now she means mission. Now she means you have to go to Rome and try and convince the most Catholic of people on the earth to be Mormons.
Yeah.
Try to convince Italians not to drink wine anymore. Yeah. That's what your job is for 2 years.
And
have fun.
And I fucking did my part. I set aside money.
Yeah.
I set aside, that was a lot of money for a 19-year-old, right?
Yeah.
I could have done a lot with that little sum.
Oh. That is a shame.
That's just awful. Like, it used to make me very, very, very angry when I thought about it. Like, very, very, very angry. There were a lot of reasons why my relationship with my parents was pretty strained when I was in my 20s and even early 30s.
Well, you did become one of those horrible gay people.
Yeah, and that put its own strain. And then I had a couple little things like that to just add on, like, this anger.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was rough going there for a while.
Yikes. Well, there you go, kids. I'm going to guess. I'm going to go ahead and guess. As a prophet, since I'm the prophet, I'm going to go ahead and prophesy that some of our listeners have had some wonderful personal encounters with prophecy.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about them.
I think they should write them into us.
Yeah.
Go ahead and write into us, kids, podcast at thankgodimatheist.com.
Or, you know, you could call and leave us a voicemail message about that. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Hallelujah. Go to the Facebook page, kids, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click like.
And there's also something else you can do on Facebook. You can search for the TGIA Members Only Lounge or request to join. It's a closed group.
It's all secret and shit. So, like, if you join, nobody will see anything that says atheist on your in your likes or whatever.
Right. But we'll let you in, and then you get access to all that.
And then, ta-da, you've got a community.
Yeah.
Magic.
Woohoo!
Speaking of that community, I really want to thank Amy, Danny, and Sarah for all of their amazing work in moderating the Members Only Lounge. It's amazing.
And of course, thanks to Mackenzie for all of her work posting on our public Facebook page.
Indeed. Thanks to the Red Rock Hot Club and Gordon Johnson for the use of their fine, fine music.
And thank you, dear listener, for once again listening.
We sure do love it when you do.
Bye-bye.